Today I'm going to talk about what makes the Israelite, the Jewish people, so stubborn. Because they are ignorant of God's will. They misunderstood what's the reason why God gave them the Mosaic law. Okay? They don't understand. So today, we study that. Through this study, we have to look at ourselves as a Christian. What makes us so stubborn also? To see whether we fall into the same kind of trap. Okay? Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you be gracious to your servant every time that he speaks your word, that he explains it clearly to your children, and so that we understand, so that we won't fall into the same kind of trap, so that we be stubborn and harden our heart. And I pray that you open our mind and our heart, that we can understand what you have to say to us. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, can fill each and every one of us, enlighten us, and give us a wisdom so that we can understand what you have to say to us. And what's the reason why Paul is saying what he's saying in Romans chapter 2. And I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. So, Jean, could you read that? Now, while Jean is reading Romans chapter 2, and let us take a look closely by listening to it and reading at the same time, and what kind of mistake that they have made, so that we won't make the same kind of mistake again in our lifetime. Romans chapter 2.
We therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you pass to judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness
leads you toward repentance? So what makes them stubborn? What caused them harden their heart? What kind of excuse they give it to God? And Paul say that you have no excuse. What have they done? Because they thought that God gave them the law, and they thought that they can be the judge. Being the judge or being the teacher of the law, being the judge or being the teacher of the law, you cannot escape God's judgment on you. Because when God judges us, he's going to judge us in verse 2 based upon the truth. Based upon the truth. In other words, if I'm the judge, and if I sit on the on the judgment seat, and I pass the sentence to the convicted person, and yet if I do the same thing, I'm judging myself too. So being a judge, you will not escape judgment, because we all under the law. You understand? We all under the law. Okay, this is the first thing. They thought they are the judge. And I want you to write it down beside chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I want you to write it down, book of James. James, James chapter 4. Verse 12, there is only one lawgiver, and there's only one judge, and we are not the judge, nor the Jewish people are the judge. James writes that down. That there's only one judge, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is able to give, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So there's only one judge. And they thought they have the law, they can pass judgment on others. Okay? We cannot pass judgment on others. Okay, verse 5. What's the second thing that they make the mistake?
But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God who will give to each person
according to... Okay, I want to stop here. Verse 5. And I want you to write it down. The second thing that they are so stubborn, they don't realize God's word. You write down Ecclesiastic, the ones after Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 11. Chapter 8, verse 11, I want you to write it down right beside Romans. Okay, I do it this way. Chapter 2, 1 to 5, you write down James. Chapter 4, 11 to 12. And then Romans chapter 2, verse 5, you write down Ecclesiastes. Chapter 8, verse 11. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the heart of the people are filled with scheme to do wrong. Why? Because the Israelites thinking that, well, I sinned against God, but nothing happened to me. And they think it will not happen to him in the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. But in fact, according to what Paul is saying, because of your stubbornness and of your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed, not now. In the end time. They misunderstood there. So I want you to write it down. Right beside Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11. You write it down Romans 2:5. When God did not carry out the sentence. The reason why he did not carry out. Because God's kindness lead us. Was repentant. Give us ample of time to turn around and repent. And yet, because of your stubbornness and of your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, for the final judgment. When his righteous judgment will be revealed. Will be revealed, that means you don't see judgment now. All you see is what? Kindness. All you see is tolerance. All you see is God patient. You don't see judgment now. You don't see judgment now, but doesn't mean there's no judgment. Do I make myself clear? Okay? Because God is very good. He's slow to become angry. Right? He's rich in love. Great in mercy. Why is he so kind to us? Because he wants us to repent. Give us a lot of opportunity to repent. But people say, wow, I did something wrong, really bad. And there's no judgment on me. And so that means there's no judgment in the future. That's not true. You got that? That's the second mistake that they made. In verse 6:30, what kind of mistake they made?
God will give to each person according to what he has done.
So in other words, God is a fair, is a just judge. He will judge us according to, first of all, chapter 2, verse 2, according to God's truth. And secondly, God going to judge us according to what we have done. He be very fair to us. Verse 7.
To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and you will give eternal life.
Keep going.
But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles.
What is the reason why he says that first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles? Because the Jewish people thinking that God showed favoritism to Jewish people. Because God loved the Jews. No, that's not true. That's not true. Keep reading it.
But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism.
Yeah, that's the main thing. They thought God showed favoritism to the Jewish people. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that Christians think that God showed favoritism to Christians too? Do we have this misunderstanding, misconception within our heart? Right? Not knowing that God is going to judge each and every one of us according to God's truth, according to what we have done. If you've done good, you'll be rewarded. If you've done something bad, you'll be punished. Doesn't matter whether you're Christian or non-Christian. Doesn't matter whether you're Jews or Gentile. But the judgment first comes to the what? God's household first, which is the Jews and the believer first. Okay? Now, I want to go back. Chapter 2, right beside Romans chapter 2, say first to the Jews, then to the Gentile. Right beside that, I want you to write it down. Let me see, 116, you write that down. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. God doesn't show favoritism to the Jews. If the Jewish people doesn't believe, the Jewish people will go to hell. If the Gentile believe, the Gentile will be saved. Salvation come to the Jewish people first, then come to the Gentile. But you have to be a believer. Because the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. When it comes to judgment, same thing. First for the Jews, then to the Gentile. In verse 6, God will give each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, doesn't matter whether you're Jews or Gentile, there will be wrath and anger. When? In the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. In verse 9. There will be trouble and distress for every human being. No exception. Doesn't matter whether you're Jews or Gentile. Who does evil? First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. Right beside chapter 2 verse 9. First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. You write down 1:16. So, right beside 1:16, first for the Jews, then for the Gentile, you write down 2:9. Verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone, no exception. Who does good, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. So you write down right beside 1:16, you write down 2:9-10. Right beside 2:10, first for the Jews, then for the Gentile, you write 1:16. Why is like that? Because there's an order. You are the one who received the blessing, he's going to judge you first. You receive the blessing later, you'll be judged later. For God does not show favoritism. God is impartial. Now, I have mentioned 3 points. Point number one, what kind of misconception they have? Number one, you remember? They thought that they are the small letter J, they thought they are the judge. When they are the judge, they pass judgment on other people. They can escape judgment. No, being a judge cannot escape judgment. You are being the person that who has the law. You have the law. You don't pass. When you have the law, and based upon the law, you judge others, you cannot escape judgment. Point number one. That's the thing the Jewish people, they misunderstood. Point number two, what did I say? Because there's no judgment now, there will not be any judgment. No judgment now, that means no judgment in the future. That's wrong. What's the reason why there's no judgment now? Because God is kind to us. The reason why there's no judgment now? Because He leads us to repentance. Point number three. When God judges us, God is going to judge us based upon truth and based upon what we have done. It's not because it's not based upon who you are, not on who you are. I don't care whether you are Jews or Gentile. Right? Okay. Now keep going. Chapter 2, verse 12.
All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sit under the law will be judged by the law.
Okay. Have you heard some people saying that we Chinese, we don't know the Bible because God did not give us the law? Where does it say? Psalm 147:19-20. God did not give us the law. God gave the law to the Jewish people. God did not give us the law. But what did God give it to us? The universe. Through the creation, we know that God is the creator though. Deep in our heart, right? Although God did not give us the law, but God gave us the universe. We know there's a sun, there's a moon, there's an earth, okay? Through this, we know God is a God, a creator. Let me see. Because God did not give us the law, so God is fair God. He's a just God. He will not judge us based upon the law. Now, what did He judge us as far as Gentile is concerned? God's going to judge us based upon our conscience. Chapter 2, verse 15. Since they saw that the requirement of the law are written on their heart, their consciences also bear witnesses, and their thought now accusing, now even defending them. In other words, we Gentiles, we have never known the law. We don't have the Old Testament at that time. A lot of our Chinese, we don't have the Old Testament. Now we become Christians, so we have the Bible. You know, our ancestors, they don't have the Bible, right? So how would God judge our ancestors? God going to judge us based upon the conscience. In other words, whatever God revealed to us through His creation, He put that revelation into our conscience. So He can judge you based upon your conscience. I give you one illustration. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3 tells us that as children, we have to honor our parents. But even though Chinese saying that who doesn't know the gospel, doesn't know the Bible, we Chinese still know that based upon our conscience, we have to honor our parents. Marina, before you hear about the gospel, from your own conscience, you know that you should honor your parents too. It's not because of the Bible, because God put that in your heart. In your conscience. You know that. Right? Do you have any people saying things like that? You don't have to honor your parents? Based upon your culture? In your culture? And you know that we all have to honor our parents. Isn't it right? So even though we have no Bible, we still know that. So God's going to judge us based upon what is in our conscience. Because God impressed that within our heart. So we know that. But whereas Jewish people, God put what? God put His word, law, within their heart. So once you have the law, God's going to judge you based upon the law that is within your heart. I think God is very fair. Why? God revealed the universe to Gentiles. God revealed His law to Jewish people. So God's going to judge us based upon what is in our heart, in our conscience. Now, let's take a look. Some people say, I'm glad that I'm Chinese and I'm Indian, I'm glad that I don't have the law, you know? So you're wrong. Chapter 2, verse 12. All who sins apart from the law, that means we don't have the law. You write down Psalm 147, 19 to 20. All who sins apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. In other words, God will not judge you based upon the law, because you don't have the law, He won't judge you based upon the law. You write that down, apart from the law, you write down 2:15. Right beside apart from the law, you write down 2:15. And all who sins under the law will be judged by the law. And that's fair. So the first part, 12a, talking to the Gentile. 12b is talking to the Jewish people. Verse 13. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. The Jewish people, they misunderstood that. They thought, now that I have the law of God, I can escape judgment.
No. When you have the law of God, I want you to write it down. Right beside verse 13. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight. It is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Obey the law, right beside obey the law. You write down chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sins. You write down 3:20. Right beside obey the law, you write down 3:20. They thought they can obey the law. No one can obey the law. Because 3:20, the Bible says, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. By observing the law means by obeying the law. Don't deceive yourself. Rather, through the law, the Jewish people should become conscious of sin. Without the law, I don't know that I sin against God. With the law, now I know that I sin against God. But they deceived themselves. They thought, wow, I got the law. I judge other people. Oh, I got the law. I won't be judged by the law. No, that's not true. With the law, I will be judged by the law. With the law, and I know that I'm a sinner. With that law, turn me to, force me to what? Force me to seek refuge in our Lord Jesus Christ. Force me to believe in Jesus, who is my Savior. Without the law, I don't know that I sin against God. With the law, I know that I sin against God. But if they don't understand the purpose of the law, they thought, with the law, I judge people. With the law, I pass judgment on others. With the law, I can escape judgment. No, God going to judge us based upon the law that he given it to you. But if he given us the law, and he going to judge us based upon the law, then I will be in deep trouble. Then you're going to say to God, why are you giving us the law? So that we are conscious. We are conscious of our own sins. So that we go and seek a Savior. Cry out to Jesus and ask Jesus Christ to save us. Do I make myself clear? So whether you have the Old Testament or you don't have the Old Testament, we are all being judged by God fairly. Based upon the truth, based upon the law, based upon what you have done. Based upon how you respond to the law. All who sins apart from the law, like Gentile, will also perish apart from the law. And all who sins under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law, the Jewish people is the one who hear the law, who are righteous in God's sight. You hear the law doesn't make you just, but you hear the law doesn't make you righteous in God's sight. But it is those who obey the law, who's observing the law, will be declared righteous. They misunderstood that. They brag about the law. There's nothing to brag about the law. Okay? Verse 14. Indeed, when Gentiles, who do not have the law, do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their heart, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thought now accusing, now even defending them. In the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, those people who have never heard about the law, like the Chinese, like the Indian, when they face the judgment, their own conscience is going to accuse them.
their own conscience is going to defend them. If you have done something right, like you honor your parents, your conscience say, yeah, you've done a good job. But if you've done something wrong, your conscience is going to accuse you. Okay? Verse 16. This will take place on the day of judgment, when God will judge man's secret thoughts. Okay? Secret deed. This will take place on the day when God will judge man's secret through Jesus Christ. God's going to judge us through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declared. He said this is not what he said, this is what the gospel said. This will take place, not now, will take place on the day. I want you to write it down. This will take place, right beside will take place on the day. You write down Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. And then I also want you to write it down, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Now God showed his kindness to us, showed his patience to us, showed his tolerance to us, mercy and grace to us. Why he's so good to us? He wants to lead us to repentance. Don't misunderstand God's will. Okay, let me see. Carl, could you tell me what have you learned today? What kind of thing that the Jewish people has misunderstood? That is chapter 2, 1 to 4. But they are just a mere one. They are mere men, they are not judged, but they thought they are judged. Why? What made them thinking that they are judged? Yeah, because they received the law from God. Okay? Not knowing the meaning. What's the reason why they received the law? Yeah, they don't know that. Okay? Point number two. Come.
Those who are obedient. Now the time of favor, the time of patience and mercy, but those who remain unrepentant will be judged.
So no judgment now doesn't mean that no judgment in the future. Right? That is too far. And too what?
At the end is 2:16.
2:5 and 2:16, right? Okay, point number three. How did God judge us? They thought God so favored us. They thought, wow, they are Jews. They are holy. They don't realize that God didn't judge them based upon what? Based upon the law, based upon the truth, and based upon what they have done. Right? But God doesn't show favoritism. But there's order for that. They're going to judge the Jewish people first, and then going to judge the Gentile. Did you see God judge the Jewish people, Jewish nation? You see the Jewish people scattered throughout the whole world? Even in Shanghai, in Hong Kong, I see Jewish people. Even in India. They're not supposed to be in India. They're supposed to be in Palestine, in the promised land. Why? Because God judged them. Right? They judge the Jewish people first, and then you're going to judge the Gentile. When you see that God judges the Jewish people, you know that it's coming to you.
What else they misunderstood?
How will God judge the Gentile? Number four, God going to judge us based upon what is in our heart, in our conscience. As far as Jewish people is concerned, what is in their heart? The law. What is in our heart? What God has revealed in our heart. What did God reveal in our heart? Chapter 1, creation. God make it plain to us in our heart already. 1:19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, plain to us, because God has made it plain to them. Verse 20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible quality, his eternal power, and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. The Gentiles are without excuse. In chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 20, Gentiles are without excuse, because God revealed it to us regarding his creation. And then chapter 2, verse 1, the Jewish people has no excuse. Why? Because God revealed his law within their heart. You see that? Ah, thank God, you know, we have such a good pastor like Pastor Paul. You know, he make it known to us so that, you know, we can't give any excuse. It is amazing. Now, when we study that, now we understand. Now we understand why in Deuteronomy chapter 6, as a parent, we should teach God's word to our children so they get impressed upon their heart. So that we know what to do, so that we won't be judged by God. In the same way, unfortunately, the Gentiles believe that, oh, the world wasn't created by God, by evolution. They just deny that. And they will be judged by God. Okay? We will be judged based upon what is in our heart. Wow. As far as the Gentiles are concerned, which is chapter 1, 19 to 20. That is in our heart. 1, 19 to 20. As far as the Gentiles are concerned, as far as Jews are concerned, it's the law. God giving them the law. Okay. Let me ask you a question, Vavina. Have you ever been to India? Do you know what happened if as far as the farmer is concerned? I'm not talking about religious farmer. I'm not talking about the one who believe in Jesus, believe in God. I'm talking about like Gentile. We don't know God, okay? What happened if they don't have rain? What would they do? Did they ask for rain? They know that someone going to send rain, right? Same as Chinese. It's amazing. Right? Is that? So, what would they do? They pray to God. I tell you what Gentiles doing, okay? They kill their children. They slaughter them. And offer to idol. And hoping that they can please God. But God hates that. I tell you where it is, okay? Turn to Psalm 106. 106. Psalm 106, could you read that to me, starting in verse 34 to 39, Joyce?
Psalm 106, verse 34 to 39.
they did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them.
The peoples are the Gentiles, okay? They is the Jewish people.
But they mingled with the nations and adopted their customs.
Adopted their custom. They don't follow God's law. God's law did not ask them to offer to idol. Verse 36.
They worship their idols, which became a snare to them.
They don't worship God. They worship Gentiles' idol, which became a snare to them. 37.
They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons.
Why? Try to please the idol so as to send rain.
They shed innocent blood, the bloods of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. They defiled themselves by what they did, by their deeds they prostituted themselves.
The law said that we should worship God. They mingle with the Gentiles. They follow their custom. You see, the Indian custom and Jewish, Indian custom is different from Jewish law. Chinese custom is different from Jewish law. They don't follow God's law, they follow our custom. It's amazing. Now what have we learned? We Christian, if we don't read the Bible, if we look at how the Gentiles are doing, soon later we're going to drift away and we follow their custom and do things that sins against God. And let me ask you a question. What's the custom in Canada as far as the young people is concerned? What's the custom? Is this the custom for young people to have computer game? Isn't it? No? Not in David's house? Ah, good for you. Give me five.
You don't play on computer game?
Yeah.
You don't? What kind of game do you play? You play game, right?
Oh man. I know that a lot of our children, they spend so much hour on playing the computer games or games. They don't have time to study God's word, and they won't get blessed. You think now is difficult? By the time when Gabriel has a son, 17 years old, Gabriel, you will be in big trouble. Unless you study God's word and teach your children. You know what I mean? I don't know. And God say that we impress God's word within the heart of our children, and yet our children are attracted by computer games. And we think we as a Christian bring our children to a church, the church will change them. That is misconception. You have to hear God's word yourself, and then you're going to teach your children. You don't just expect your children will learn something from the church. Emily, you go to your church all your life, right? In a Southside church, but just going to the church on Sunday, will you learn anything? So it's not good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to study it at home. Just going on Sunday, it is not good enough. Most of the church service is only 30 minutes. It's not good enough. They don't even remember what the pastor has said. They don't even know what God's word is. Their mind is so filled with the computer game. 3 hours a day. So every week is 21 hours.
they offer so much to demon. They don't offer themselves to God. Unless ABC Church change that culture. I don't care how smart you are. When you go to high school, you spend so much time in the games, you're gonna flunk out. Did you see the other day? Our friend Bruce. Do you see that? He can't even read dominion, because in his day-to-day conversation, they don't use the word dominion. He can't even pronounce it. He spends so much time in the computer game. He's a Caucasian, and yet he doesn't know how to read. Can you imagine if I hire him as an engineer, he can't even write a report. If you don't know how to read, that means you don't know how to write. We're in deep trouble. You don't change them. You don't preach the gospel to them. When you make money, you're going to pay tax to them. They're going to be a burden to the society. We better preach the gospel. And as young people, they don't know the importance of preaching the gospel. So, it's okay for me to believe in Jesus. Yeah, it's okay for you to believe in Jesus. What about you, Gabriel? Do you want to get married? Do you have the gift to be abstinent, not getting married? Or being a bachelor for the rest of your life? Then you need to marry, right? But the Bible says you can't marry a non-Christian. Isn't it that we have to preach the gospel to someone that who wasn't a Christian before and now become a Christian? You don't preach the gospel? You have no wife. Oh man, say Pastor John, don't worry, I go to Southside Church. I'm going to grab one. And they doesn't know God's word. Start from us. We preach the gospel. Let people know about God's word. How does it sound? You save others. You save your own marriage. Do I make myself clear? Well, maybe for Carl's concern, I get married already. I don't need another girl. What about your children? Will you start preaching the gospel? Save others first. All right? Is this a deal? Is this a deal? All right? Deal or no deal? Gabriel?
Deal.
Okay. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you have mercy on us. You've given us God's word so that we know your will. You give us the truth. You're going to judge us based upon the truth. The truth is, you die on the cross for sinners like us. The truth is, you want us to preach the gospel, to save others. Lord, I pray that you help us to be diligent in doing God's word, leading others to come to know Christ, so that we can share the blessing with those who have never heard of you, but now come to know you. We know you're not judging us now. You're being very kind to us, gracious to us, merciful to us, patient to us. The reason for doing so is because you want to lead us to repentance. Help us not to be stubborn in our own heart. Help us not to be selfish, not just bring our children to the church and thinking that that's good enough. It's not good enough. You want us to be diligent in studying your word to know your will so as to do it. And so as to save others. Lord, I pray that starting from this church, you change our church. And when we are changed by you, and I pray that you show your favor to us May the beauty of our Lord God Almighty rest upon each and every one of us. And may you remember the work of our hand. Yes, remember the work of our hand. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.